Yeah, so we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His word. And indeed, it is of His help. Yeah, so we are still in the book of 1 Timothy and chapter 6. And yesterday we were able to look at the aspects of being wealthy. And the Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out of it. And the Bible says, having food and clothing, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. So you can see when those who desire to be rich, so when the desire to be rich overrides conscience, you know, when the desire to be rich overrides what we believe as a true doctrine, when the desire to be rich means that you commit a crime for you to be rich, then the Bible is already saying that it drowns people. It pulls people into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction. And the Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves with many sorrows. So the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and which many have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves with many sorrows. And then that is where he now speaks to Timothy, and he turns and he says, but you, O man of God, you can think of that, you know, the world can choose to go in whatever direction it wants. Your friends can choose to go in their own direction. Those around you, those who started in the right way, can choose to go in the wrong direction. But there is a charge that comes at an individual level. And that's why we say that this is really a pastoral letter written by Paul to his son Timothy in the faith. And you can see he says, but you, man of God, recognizes him and tells him, flee these things, run away from these evils, run away from these desires of people who are piercing themselves with many sorrows, you know, drowning themselves in perdition, those that are running after unrighteousness, after unrighteous gain, those that are eager to get rich, you know, to swindle the members, the congregation, to take advantage, you know. And that is sadly what happens in many cases. And he said, but you have a different calling. You have a different assignment. You have a different revelation. I have revealed myself to you in a deeper way. And he says, in this way, it says, flee these things, run away from these things, and pursue righteousness. You have to run after righteousness, says godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. So we run after the right things. Remember, we are told, meditate on these things wholly, you know, and give yourselves to them, that it might be evident, that your profiting might be evident to all. So there is a certain profiting that comes to all of us when we submit ourselves to God, when we look unto God, we depend on Him, and the evidence is there for the world to see. The Bible says, fight, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So you can see it's told, when you're pursuing these things, when you're pursuing righteousness, when you're pursuing godliness, when you're pursuing faith, when you're pursuing love, when you're pursuing patience, when you're pursuing gentleness, then this is what it means to fight the good fight. That means there is going to always be a continual war inside every man. The war between the old nature, the sinful nature, the carnal nature, and the war between the new man, the righteous nature, the inner man that is redeemed in the blood of Christ. So that war is going to be there. And you as a man of God, there is a fight of a good faith that you must maintain. That means as you strive to stay righteous, as you strive to stay pure, as you strive to teach the right doctrine, to correct people in love, then the Bible is very clear. Then you are a good servant of God. And he says here, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You know the things about God are actually grabbed. Eh? You know, when Jesus says, from the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffers violence. Oh, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing, and the violent take it by force. That means there is a participation that each and every one of us involves ourselves in, be it in fighting the good fight of faith, but also a potential that you are fighting, you are taking your stand, and God expects us to take our stands and to be firm in the Lord, to be strong in the Lord. So when we are fighting that good fight of faith, you are putting to death your flesh. You're taking it to the cross, and you're telling Jesus that, Jesus, this I bring to you. I bring to you to cleanse me, to purify me, to make me whole, and indeed to make a change in your life. So when you fight the good fight of faith, you are holding fast. You are laying hold of eternal life. You are saying, I will not let you go. I will not let you go. You know, one of the best examples of person who wrestled with God is Jacob. Jacob, the Bible says, after everyone had left him, he had sent his wives across the river. He was left alone. And that night, the Bible says, a man wrestled with him. And you can imagine what he was going through. He was going through. And when it was daybreak, when the man wanted to leave, he said, I will not leave you until you bless me. I will not leave you until you bless me. So there is a responsibility that God expects on every believer to fight and to lay hold of eternal life. It does not mean that you have worked for it, but no, you partake it by faith. You become a participant of the things that God has released for our times. There are things that God has released for us that are in the realm of you just asking, you just taking hold of it. There are things that, yes, are freely given, but there are things that you make yourself a partaker of the same. And I pray that God will give us the discernment, give us the courage, make us willing to serve him, and make us to be able to know the differences in our lives, what is needed to us by time and season. So it says, and lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I think even from the scriptures we can see there used to be public confession of salvation. You know, at times we always have these people who say, no, why do I need to go in front? Why do I need to say that I am saved? Jesus was very clear. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. So there is a place that we are called to, that we concentrate, that we stand and make that confession. And you can say, Paul is reminding Timothy, hold on to that confession that you received and to which you are called and to which you have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So the beauty of witnesses is they tell us, you know, and they also see. So they also see when we go wrong, they correct us. When we mess up, they will be there to watch. And I think one of the beauties of people to stand is the presence of many witnesses. Many times when we are left alone, it is easy to fall by the wayside. It is easy to miss our way. But when we stand and when we wait And when we are together, then it is able to encourage ourselves. And not only are these witnesses, you know, physical human beings, but remember the book of Hebrews tells us that we have such a great cloud of witnesses. That means there are those who have gone ahead of us that are cheering us on. You know, those that died in the faith earlier, they are saying, you shall not fail. We also face the same challenges with you. You shall not fail. They encourage you. They cheer you. Think about Jesus on the mountain of transfiguration. Elijah and Moses, they come to him. They start to speak concerning the things that he shall suffer in Jerusalem. And I believe they encouraged him and they strengthened him and he came out stronger. Now, verse 13 says, I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is blessed and the only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. So you can see he's telling him that to continue in the good confession, to continue depending on Christ, to continue crying out that Christ is Lord over his life. And he tells him, even in the presence of all these people, that you keep this commandment and you be blameless, without spot, until our Lord Jesus comes appearing. One of the things that the believers lived on is in light of eternity. You know, eternity, when you know that anytime the rapture will happen, anytime in the twinkle of an eye, this world, as we know it, will come to an end. And those that are dead in Christ will rise up. And then we who are alive will also be caught up into the air and to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, what a blessed day it shall be. But the Bible is warning us, let us not be caught sleeping. Let us not be caught, you know, doing things of darkness. But let us stay faithful to the word of God, faithful to the confession of Christ. And God is the one that is able to guarantee our safe arrival in heaven. No, the Bible says, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his great and glorious presence with great joy. So God is able to keep you and I from falling. And if we continue to depend on him, to wait on him, we shall see his faithfulness. And he is coming. The Bible says that he will manifest in his own time. So the time of Christ's return is known by the Father. Jesus told his disciples, it is not for you to know the times and seasons that the Father has set by his own authority, but know this, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So we are called not to be ignorant of the last days, of what God, of the things that God will do before the end of the world, but also we are told to be alert. We are called to be patient. I think it will be very sad that you knew all these things, you knew about the rapture, and then the rapture happens and one is left behind. So that is why it is important that we are continually in communion with God, in fellowship with God, because even if he delays to come, we too can go to him. And no one knows their day or their hour in which they are still alive, that they will stay alive. So you see, look at the description of worship of the king. You know, in his own time, he who is blessed and the only potentate, that means the only powerful, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in an approachable light, whom no eye has seen, can see or has seen, to whom be honor and everlasting power. One of the things that we must know about God is that God is so holy that no eye can see him. And in fact, when it says no man, it means that no flesh can see him. God is spirit, but they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It is only when we put to death our carnal nature that we can behold him. But how do we see him? We behold him by as in a mirror. We behold the glory of God. The mirror is the word of God. Each and every day, my brother, my sister, that you look at the word of God, that you concentrate, that you focus to read, to understand, to see what it entails, to look at its aspects. Every time you do that, you are beholding the face of God. You're beholding the face of Jesus Christ. And as you do that, then you're going to be transformed into the very same image. God wants us to be turned into the very same image of him. Why? Because it is him that has all power. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He has all immortality, and he dwells in unapproachable light, and to whom no man has seen or can see, and to whom be glory and honor, be honor and everlasting power. Amen. So Paul continues to urge Timothy, verse 17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be proud, nor not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works and ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So you can see even there is guidance for the rich. And remember, the rich are told not to overpower those that serve them, not to take advantage of them. You know, this is not where Ahab wants the vineyard of Naboth and organizes for his neighbor to be killed. You know, all these things are not right. And they're written in scriptures as examples for us not to follow after that way. Because if we do, we can easily end up ourselves in trouble. But God still wants us to stay faithful, even that you have been blessed in wealth, in whatever way, that you stay grounded. That you should rather, if you want to be rich, rich in heaven. How are you rich in heaven? You're rich in your good works. You are ready to share and to give. That means when you, and then you store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and rusts cannot eat. God wants us to store up treasures in heaven. And these are things that move the heart of God. When we understand that it is not about us, but there is a view of eternity in mind. And when we walk with Christ, then by the grace of God, he can help us to navigate such and then to eventually take hold of eternal life that God has prepared. Verse 20, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. So one of the things that we can see is this is really a clear letter of guidance. It's telling him, Timothy, my son, I left you in Ephesus to command certain men not to teach false doctrines. These are the things that you're going to face. You want to appoint elders. You want to appoint overseers and deacons. These are the qualifications. This is the mystery of godliness. You know, he's told, hold on to your faith, fight the good fight, keep standing. Even if people are eager to make wealth, leave them alone, stay connected to the truth. And he tells him, now, guard what was committed to your trust. You know, the salvation or the anointing or the grace, for whatever it is that involves the church, God has given it for as a trust. As a trust means that you are a steward. You're one that is going to manage, you're going to take that responsibility. And when we are faithful in it, then God is able to multiply that grace, is able to provide for us in different ways. And we just need to continue to be sensitive and not even to allow ourselves to be distracted. Sorry, what are the things that would have distracted? Timothy's told, profane and idle babblings. and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. He's just being told, avoid the philosophers. Avoid all these things that people want to argue about. Faith. And, you know, they're just trying which is better, which is not. At that point, it's not about listening. It's just about proving egos. And he's saying, man of God, you just guard what was given to you. Close your eyes to these other things. Don't look at them. Focus on what God has placed you. And I believe when we learn to commit to the trust that God has placed in our lives, then we shall experience the blessing of God. And he says, by professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. Warning to be rich, warning against how we live our lives, how we, if we are rich, to be rich in good works, to store up treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot eat. He's told to fight the good fight of faith, to run away from evil, to run away from corruption, to run away from things that contaminate body, mind, and spirit. Then he's also told, you now fight this good fight of faith. Continue to make the confession. Continue to confess. Do not let it go until it shall manifest indeed in what God has prepared. And he said, don't, if you run after these things, it is false knowledge. And we don't want you to wander away from the faith. I pray that God will give us insight into this. I believe this book of 1 Timothy and the books of Timothy are usually one of very good books about pastoral counseling, about leadership. And I know that God has taught us and will continue to encourage us in this. When we look at these books, it is for our learning and it is for us to understand. I'll stop here and I pray that God will give us more insight into this. My brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manuel. No addition for myself.
Okay, thank you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We give you glory. We do not take it for granted that you are God. And there is no one else like you, God. You've surrounded us. You've watched over us. You've been our shield, our portion. We've experienced your loving kindness, O God. And Lord, you are worthy. Guide us, O God. Protect us, O God. Watch over us, O God. Give us this courage to wait on you, to not depend on man, O God, but to depend on your promises that are yes and amen. Indeed, you are faithful. You are holy. You are gracious, O God. We thank you for your loving kindness. Watch over our homes, O God. Watch over our families, of our children, O God. We cancel every sickness from them, and even in our midst, O God, we come against every attacks of the evil one, O God. I pray for your preservation. Preserve us, O God. Guide our minds, O God. Help us to stay connected, O God, to guide our minds and our thoughts for the glory of God. I praise you, I worship you, and I adore you, and magnify your holy name. We thank you, and we give you glory. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. 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 Shalom. Have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye-bye.